Caleb, chapter 21, the last chapter of Division of Land. It is indeed the cities of Levium. You see the outline I gave you on the page. It will start with the request of Levium saying, hey, don't forget about us. Then the basic layout of who lived where, followed by the list of specific cities and which tribes gave what, and then the very end of the settling of the land. So we start with a little bit about the cities of Levium. If you take a look at the sheets I gave you, source number 2 in Yehoshua 21. This is the section from the Chumash that talks about the assignment of these cities. It's one of these odd quirks where, as you see when you look at it, Bamidbar, the end of Sefer Bamidbar, gives me the cities that are for the Levium. But in Sefer Vayikra, we already had a reference to cities of the Levium. It's a very odd thing that we're going sort of backwards in that regard. Clearly it means that they knew already that there would be cities for the Levium. It's sort of like how in Parshas Mishpatim, we have a reference to Shemitah and to Bikurim, even though the laws aren't going to be given until later on. Nonetheless, Hashem is already telling you something about it. They clearly have some concept of it. So take a look at number 2. The translation, as you see on the sheet, I took basically just took the JPS one and made it English. Hashem spoke to Moshe in the plains of Moab by the Yarden at Yericho, or the Yarden of Yericho, saying, command the Jews to give the Levium from their portions cities in which to dwell, and there should be open land around the cities that you're going to give to the Levium. So they have to have a nice sort of green belt area outside of the city. The cities will be for them to dwell in. The open areas go to their animals, their property. This is separate from any outer area that was given to the Shevet. Because remember, we said like Kalev has the outer area outside Hebron. That can't be the area that's designated for the animals of the Levium. These open land spaces outside of the cities that you're going to give them, 1,000 cubits is supposed to be the width of this space outside the city. You shall measure outside the city, 2,000 cubits for the east side, that's past Negev, 2,000 cubits to the south side, that's past Yam Alpayim Ba'ama, that's past Safon Alpayim Ba'ama, you get the idea. The cities in the middle, that will be the boundary. I'm not going to get into the whole discussion about 1,000 versus 2,000. There's a lot of discussion in the commentaries trying to explain how exactly this was done and what each part of the outer area was for. These cities you're giving to Levium, that includes the 6 cities of refuge, which we referred to, plus another 42. So that, in sentence 7, Pasuk Zayin, it says, all the cities you give to Levium, total of 48, them and their outer areas, and the cities you shall give from the portion of the children of Israel, from those who are large you give more, from those who are small you give less, each one according to his portion, he shall give from his cities to the Levium. Clear? Okay, 48 cities, of which 6 are cities of refuge, given from each Shevet, the city itself, and then the space around it. The other part that I brought here, source number 3, says, the cities of the Levium, their houses, Gulas Olam Tiyel Alevim, will always be redeemable by the Levium. What that means is that normally a house in a walled city, once sold, can be bought back for a year. If I sell a house in a walled city and then want to reverse the sale for whatever reason, for the first year, all I do is go back to the seller, give him back his money, and the house is mine. And he doesn't have the right, the buyer, sorry. And he doesn't have the right to complain. That's the rule. You have a year, and then that's it. After that, no more chance, and it doesn't go back to your family in Yovel either. After that, it is gone. Why this is so, I think I spoke at a women's class on Shabbos last year, the year before, about this topic. I don't remember what I said. But the...
Can you apply to your city today? Like, can you sell and buy property?
So none of this is going to apply because you have a whole other thing, you know, called municipal law. But that's the setup for walled cities. I think at the time I said, based on Rav Shimshon Rafala Hirsch, who distinguishes between walled cities, which cut you off from agriculture, and cities that are open, where you're connected to your fields, and which one the Torah wants to encourage. And that was the discussion then. But here, as Hirsch reads it, the Torah wants to encourage being closer to the land and closer to agriculture. It doesn't like the walled city. That's the idea, right? There was the whole thing. It was based on the Robert Frost. Somebody goes, he doesn't love a wall. That's right. We talked about that. Was what spurred that class. Yeah. It was Roberta's line about the walled cities. That's right. All right, she gets a shout out. So what we're saying is the cities of the Levium are different. Whereas in a normal walled city, you have a year to redeem it, and then that's it. Not in the walled city of the Levium, they can buy back whenever they want. Their decision. Vasher yigal min halavim, and if someone purchases from them, yigal there is to purchase, not to redeem. V'yatzamim kabayis v'yirachuz aso bayovel. Then in the jubilee year, every 50 years, it goes back to the Levi. In other words, unlike in the walled city, where once you buy it and you survive the year, it's yours forever, we treat this the way we treat fields, which is to say, the family that owned it gets it back in the jubilee year, the yovel year. That's their portion. It's the equivalent of a field. However, the fields that are outside of the city, those may not be sold at all. That's always supposed to remain with them. Non-Levium don't get to buy those fields. I don't know about one Levi buying from another. That's not clear in the pasuk. But this is essentially, these provide us with two mitzvahs. One mitzvah is the mitzvah of establishing these cities, and the other is the mitzvah of not changing these cities. So the Sefer HaChinuch discusses the benefits of having the Levium living everywhere. And we'll start with that, and then I guess after the break we'll come back to it. But if you take a look at source number 4, Rav Aaron Halevi, the anonymous author of the Sefer HaChinuch, writes, Shevet HaLevi Mivchar HaShvatim V'Nachon L'Avodas Beis Hashem. He says, the tribe of Levi is the choicest of all tribes. You chose well. It is prepared for service in the house of God. What that means, though, is they don't have the normal type of allotment of land with the fields and the vineyards and everything. But you need a place in which they're going to live. In other words, the Sefer HaChinuch's explanation is you need a place for the Levium, and the reason why you're going to have everybody give them cities is because they need somewhere to be. If they're just at the mercy of the population and they just buy random houses here, there, and everywhere, maybe someone doesn't find a space. It's not like when you have your Shevet and you're supposed to have land somewhere within your Shevet because all the families have it divided up among them. The Levium are out of luck. So everybody donates cities just as a practical measure. But there's a second element of it, and this goes back to what Ora had asked before. And that's source number 5. Hu Hashevet HaNivchar L'Avodas Hashem. The Sefer HaChinuch once again writes, this is the choicest tribe, the one that's selected for serving God. V'chol iskam haya v'chachma. All of their activities involved wisdom. They're involved in the study and teaching of Torah. They're not caught up in farming the way that everybody else is. Sema asks, what do they do all the time? So in Bezos HaBracha it said they're supposed to teach the laws to Yaakov, they're supposed to teach to Israel. And since knowledge is among them, all Israel was continually involved with them. In other words, we want to encourage contact between them and the rest of the Jews. If Levi has a portion of land, then that becomes the place of Levi. And whoever else is, you know, maybe the neighbors get to know them, but that's really it. This way, everyone has exposure to the Levium. Sorry? In a sense. I think of them as a resource.
That's
not. But that's their role, and by putting them among everybody else, then everybody will benefit from having the Lilavian present.
And those fields around the cities. What's the connection with that?
So the field is actually what I'm going to get to next time. We're not going to do it now. But if you wanted to look ahead at 6, 7, and 8. You'll see there some of the idea behind the spaces outside of the cities, and that may not be altered, and what the goal was. But yeah, we'll get to that next time. They do.
I guess when they're not in the Mishnah, they have.
Yeah. It's not as though they're not taking care of themselves day to day. It's just they're not farming, which is a very big preoccupation. So, God willing, we pick up with this in the beginning of January.
2 weeks.
We're skipping this, whatever that is, the 24th and 31st.
I just wanted to mention, the weather's been so beautiful.